from God's Word this morning. We're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm reading from the New International Version this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes had become so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up from where, and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sins he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli had asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel all as he grew up. He let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? It's great to see everyone. And again, a very happy Thanksgiving to everyone. It's always a tradition in my family to be able to go around the table, our family table, before we eat a meal, and just give thanks to the Lord, say something that we are thankful for, something the Lord is doing. And a number of them were said this morning. There was one that's always on my heart that wasn't said, I don't think. And one thing I'm really thankful for is food. I'm kind of kidding, but good food. It's a good weekend for good food. Amen. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the wealth of our country and all that we have. And it's great to be able to more than the food. It's great to be able to gather with family this year. I know last year was so different. Many of us were not able to gather with family. But I also just wanted to say how thankful I am to be here. I've been here for over 4 months now, and one of my mentors down in Texas, when I was talking to him about this opportunity to come back to Canada and be here as an interim lead pastor, he really encouraged me, thought this is the right thing. And again, the Lord led us here, our family here, to be here for this season as well. But just wanted to say how thankful I am also for the deacons. They have been so good to work with, and just getting to know them more and more. And we have two new deacons on board as well. And I just wanted to say a special thanks to them. Also, before we get going, I'm thankful for the worship team. We have so much fun worshiping here on our practice on Wednesday evenings. We get together to run through songs. And I also just wanted us, not to embarrass anyone, but to say a very happy birthday to Art, our drummer. It's on the 14th, and to Sophia, Sophie. Sophie, it's her birthday on the 14th as well. So thank you for being a part of the team. And we're so thankful for your birthdays, that you were born, and we celebrate that with you. So happy birthday. Well, just to recap from last week, I have been preaching, I want to say a series. Last week, I started a message called Learning to Hear the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned how it's a topic that doesn't get talked about very often. It's very rarely spoken. But to me, it's one of the most important, it's been one of the most impactful sermons. Things that I've really learned and that the Lord has shown me in my Christian walk and in my maturity. And I am speaking on it today. Today I'm getting into a bit more of the practical side of it, and I am going to be speaking on it next week as well, and more of the character of God. But last week, here are some things just to bring everyone up to speed, to remind us of what I mentioned, what we talked about and what we looked at last week. My first point was hearing God is part of our identity. You remember me talking about that? We looked at John chapter 10, verse 11, that says, and where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And John 10, 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is our shepherd. He guides us, protects us, and cares for us. And the amazing thing is that Jesus states how his sheep hear his voice. Just for PowerPoint, I'm not sure if that's the one from last week. If you still have the stick, I think there is part two on there as well, under the same title. I think that's from one of the screens from last week. But I also gave the example. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. That's what the Bible says. So I gave the example of a pastor who was in the Middle East, and he saw six shepherds come together, and all these sheep were in one big field together. They weren't in separate fields. And this pastor was amazed, and he was actually confused at the thought that all these sheep, how in the world are they going to tell what sheep are theirs? But then when the first shepherd left, they got up and kind of gave a call or a whistle and started walking in the field, and all these sheep started to pull out from the rest of the pack and started to follow that first shepherd. And then another shepherd went, and sheep started following that shepherd, and then a third and a fourth until they were all left. Isn't that amazing how a sheep knows their shepherd's voice? And we relate it to, again, Jesus was talking about us, how we know God's voice. Because as Christians, if we've given our lives to God, to our spirit has been made reborn. And we get to know, as we mature, we get to know God's voice. And John 10, verse 4 says, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice," which is what I just explained. The other thing we looked at last week was how do you hear? How do you hear God? And I mentioned three points. One was community. The second was the Bible. And the third was prayer. And Proverbs 24:6 says this, "In a multitude of counselors there is safety." And I we talked about how having a mentor is so valuable. And when it comes to community, people get, I want to say, caught in different communities sometimes. And our church, this is a community. We have friends who are community, of course, family. But sometimes sports teams or music teams can be part of our community. And we need to just be aware of what's influencing us. And we just need to make sure that we're putting God above, and our church community above all those other communities. There's a reason why God calls us to gather as we do. And it's to be able to hear his voice. I loved as a teenager being able to go to church and be able to hear a sermon and walk out of the church feeling like I was encouraged about something and that God spoke to me. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, God spoke to me, but something in my heart was opened. Or I had a revelation. I felt like I had a revelation of how to you know, deal with a certain situation or which direction to take in my life or what step was the next step. You know what I'm talking about? And I might not even be able to remember what that sermon title was, but that's okay. It means that God is speaking to us throughout our community in this place. And one of the easiest ways to hear God is to surround ourselves with godly people. And when we get off course, they will always turn us back to the Lord as well. And again, as you become spiritually mature, you can make decisions on your own sometimes. You know, it's great to have mentors in our life, but our mentors don't call us every day to tell us, you know, what to wear or what to eat. you know what I'm saying? And when you, sometimes people think of hearing from God and they go, oh, I have to hear from God with every single detail of my life. And that's not what we're talking about. You know, the more more time I spend with my wife, the more I know her voice, right? I can be on the phone with her and she can just give an inflection and I know what she's thinking, you know? In big decisions, it's great to talk to my wife about it. So that we're on board and we make decisions. I want to know what she's thinking, and she wants to know what I'm thinking. But at the same time, she trusts me to make decisions. Why? Because we're in relationship still. And I'm not going to make decisions that don't benefit the both of us, right? And it's the same way with our relationship with the Lord. It's that simple. And it's awesome to think about that as we spend time in community and in God's word and in prayer, that somehow the God of the universe speaks to us and gives us direction in our everyday lives. Another thing that I said last week was the Holy Spirit's voice is always wrapped in peace, and the Holy Spirit will never contradict his word. We need to make decisions that are based on God's word. That's the importance of reading God's word. We don't just keep on making decisions without knowing what God's word says. And if there's a catch in your spirit, it's probably, if there's something, a red light, if you will, it's probably something that the Lord is saying, hang on a sec, don't do this. Back up a little, or just wait. Maybe it's a no, or maybe it's a not now in those situations. Colossians 3:15 in the New Living Translation says this, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Isn't that good? Well, I have 2 points about hearing God this morning that we're going to continue on to talk about today. But before we go any further, let's bow before the Lord one more time. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today and for speaking to each one of us. Lord, help us know how to hear your voice clearer than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Rod, for reading that scripture in 1 Samuel. We are going to get to that in a little bit. But first, 1 John 10:27 again says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's what the Bible says, right? It's not me. It's what the Bible says. So that is the truth that we stand on. But again, we have many sincere believers of God that feel that they're just not able to hear from God. But according to Scripture, that's absolutely not true. I'm not telling that. I'm not saying that. The Bible is saying that. And people, if there's anyone that ever feels that way, you need to be equipped and gain experience. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. If we can move past the question of whether or not we can hear, then we position ourselves where we can start to learn and grow on this subject. And this brings me to point number one, is that hearing from God is learned. This isn't my favorite point, because to me, learned seems like it takes time and work. But that's all right. We're gonna go there anyway, because it's not a painful thing. It actually becomes a lot of fun. And the more you do that, the more you want to do that. You know what I'm talking about? So again, hearing God from God is learned. Just because we're spiritual beings doesn't mean that we don't have to be taught. So if you think about children in the way that they communicate, they have to be taught how to do things, many times for years and years and years, over and over and over and over again. And the more that they're taught on something, the better that we become. If you think of a child's first words, I'm pretty sure all my children's first words were daddy. Okay, maybe not. Maybe mommy. or maybe it was something like ball. I think for my boys it was ball. But even think about learning when they're, you know, in grade one and they're learning to print their names, or, you know, learning letters and write their names for the first time. They do it over and over and over and over again. I remember my kids seeing pages of their names over and over and over, just their first name, right? Josiah, 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 Josiah. And he learned how to write his name. Well, in the book of 1 Samuel that we just read, chapter 3, we learn about a boy who has been dedicated to the Lord by his mother. One night as he was falling asleep, he heard someone calling his name. He runs to the temple priest, which was Eli, and asks if he called him, to which Eli responded, "No, go back to bed." Same thing I would do if my kids did that, right? This happens a second and a third time, and Eli becomes fully aware of what is happening. And this is his response. In 1 Samuel 3:9, "So he said to Samuel, 'Go and lie down again, and if someone calls you again, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."'" So Eli taught Samuel how to hear from God in that moment. After repeated visits to Eli's room, a light bulb, if you will, comes on to Eli, realizing Samuel was hearing God. And he told him, go back and ask God what he wanted to say. And Samuel did just that. And God spoke. Hearing God is not always based on the depth or knowledge or wisdom. It's dependent upon being taught, upon being ready, having our, if you will, our spiritual ears open to listen. It's the starting place, and it goes on to maturity in hearing God. Samuel was young. He didn't have years of service under his belt, yet he still heard. And I love this because it shows that no matter how old someone is or where someone is spiritually, yes, we want to be able to go on to maturity in Christ, and we do get to hear from God better. But it also shows that anyone can hear God. And last week we talked about all the people that heard from God all through the Old Testament and of course the New. It's the starting place. Samuel was young. Many people just don't recognize it's God when he's speaking. I'm sure that most of us have heard the phrase, practice makes perfect. Anyone hear of that? I was taught it when I had to take piano lessons when I was a child. Do you teach that? But you might have also heard the phrase, practice makes permanent. No? Practice makes permanent. That's another one. So if you haven't heard that, that's another one. It's like riding a bike, you know, learning. Once you do it, you always know how to do it. But if you will, it's almost, again, like writing your name in grade one. You do it over and over and over until you don't even have to. There's my signature. You do it, you know it, right? And growing up, there were some situations in my life that really, really impacted me that made me aware of this subject, okay? One of the first one is a story I want to tell you. I was with a pastor. I was driving, and I remember the exact place when it happened. I was driving between Markdale and Flesherton, and in between Markdale and Flesherton, there's a spot where there's a set of trees, and I don't even know what it is. It's like a park where you can go. I think they have some bathrooms and some picnic tables and kind of like a rest stop, if you will. And this pastor was driving, and all of a sudden, we're coming from Markdale and Flesherton. We pull over into this rest area, and he's just like, there's something that's bugging me. This thought of this person came to my mind that I haven't seen in over 10 years. This couple is a missionary. They're missionaries, and I just feel the need to pray for them. I don't even know what. So this pastor, all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, okay, well, let's pray for them. I don't know them, obviously, but and he just prayed, did a simple prayer. It was, Lord, I pray for this couple. I don't know what's going on in their lives, but Lord, wherever they are in this world, I pray that you would just surround them, protect them, give them favor, provide for their needs. And he just started praying from his heart. You know what I'm talking about? Not from his head. It's just like, man, these people are on my heart. I can't get them out of my mind. And he said he hadn't talked to them in over 10 years. Isn't that incredible? So he just said this simple prayer, and we got back onto the road and kept on driving. That's not the impactful part. The impactful part was the next week, this pastor came and said, you would never believe it. I just got an email from that couple. And they were in trouble in the situation. They were just asking people all over the world to pray for them. And I was just amazed at how the Lord used that. And it wasn't a weird thing. But to me, that was something that the God used other people, you know, to pray for, intercede, if you will, for someone else. Another situation where I really learned, I don't like talking about this one because it was a time that I missed it, okay? But I'm gonna be open and honest because I believe when it comes to hearing from God, we can all miss it on certain things. And there have been many, many times that I'm like, man, I wish I could go back to that situation. And anyway, I was at Bible college. I was a part of a worship team in our junior youth. And I was a part of a worship team, went to sit down. The service had started. And there was something on my heart that I felt like I just needed to say. And it was almost like the thoughts, like a description came into my mind I knew exactly what to say. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And I was really shy when I was a teenager. Like, being up and standing in front of people was never, ever something I ever wanted to do. And I remember wrestling with that inside of me. And I am like, I am not doing this. I refuse to do this. So I felt like God was wanting me to just go up to the youth pastor and say, hey, I feel like I need to tell this to someone for the purpose of helping someone there. Does that make sense? But there was something inside of me that was like, no way, I'm not doing it. So I got to the point where I'm like, I'm not. And literally, when I made that decision where I'm like, God, you're going to have to get someone else because I don't know if this is you or if I'm, you know what I mean? You know those situations. And literally, someone else got up from went up to the youth pastor and said, I feel like I have something on my heart to say. Do you mind if I just say it? And it was a small group, and the pastor said yes. And it was someone that he knew and trusted, another leader. And that person said, like the almost word for word, the exact thing that I had. And I literally was sitting there in amazement going, oh my goodness, Lord, you used someone else. And that was from you. If anything, I'm like, oh, I missed it. Because God was wanting to use me. He was teaching me. But that's okay because it made me go, okay, I'm gonna use this. I want to learn how to grow in this. And as a shy person, I don't want it to be weird. I want it to be a natural, normal thing. Years later, I was on a mission trip. We were actually at Siksika First Nation, out an hour outside of Calgary, Alberta. It was east of Alberta. And I was with a group of people. And one night, not that this happens very often, but it's when hearing God's voice, it comes in just conversation through my prayer life. There was another leader there that I felt this impression, if you will. And it wasn't necessarily just a feeling. It's not about walking by feelings. It's more about walking by our conscience. You know what I'm talking about? And I felt like we needed to pray for this lady and that she would sleep well. And I didn't know what that meant, but I just said, hey, I actually got our group team together, and we were actually going into a prayer time for what we were there for. It was there with the Billy Graham Association. And I just said, I actually spoke out that time. I said, I really feel like we need to pray for, and I said this person's name, just, and the thing that I'd like to pray for is that she would have good night sleeps. And I didn't know what that meant, but we prayed for her, and we just prayed that she would have a good night's sleep. I'd be able to sleep the whole night. And the next day, she came back to us and said, you'd never believe this. I just slept the whole night. And she said, the story was that she had lost a grandchild, and she was only getting about 2 to 3 hours sleep a night at that time and couldn't sleep. And it was something that I didn't know, but it was through prayer we were able to bless her and support her and bring community around her. Does that make sense? And again, it was just a simple thing that I realized the Lord wants to use us. And sometimes it's a simple smile. I gave the example last week of a pastor who on Christmas Eve was at a till, checking out food, buying till, and it was someone who was working really, really slow, and he was angry, and he wanted, by the time he got up to the front of to pay for his food, because on Christmas Eve, he just wanted to yell at her. And instead, he didn't. He constrained himself and said, how are you today? Are you doing? And she's like, oh, I am so sorry. I know I'm the slowest line here, but it's the anniversary of losing my husband, and I had to work tonight. And this pastor was able to pray with her. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I really believe that God is calling us onto maturity in simple ways, not weird ways, that we can hear God's voice as he speaks to us. It might be a simple, simple thing. It might be telling a family member that you love them. It might be smiling at someone as they're walking down the road or giving someone a compliment. Hey, you look nice today. Or calling up a friend you haven't called in a long time. Those are the things that I'm saying. That's how God speaks to us. Because we're created in his image. We're created with a body. We're created with a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, but we're also created with a spirit. And our spirit communicates with God, our Father. And this brings us to point number two. There are conditions necessary to hear God accurately. How can I hear God? Does God still speak? Is he speaking to me? The good news is yes, God is speaking. And like a radio host broadcasting his voice into the airwaves, God speaks all the time. The question is, are you tuned in to the right frequency? God is waiting on us to speak to us, but we need to get into position to listen. A friend of mine, a mentor of mine, again, down in Texas, I already mentioned him. He spoke a class when I was in Texas upon this, and it was on the topic of solitude, and he talked about solitude. And he said busyness is the number one way not to hear God. Busyness. It's the hustle culture. And he's not going to throw his voice in the middle of your chaos. Instead, he's in the corner of your bedroom. He's in your prayer closet. And he talked to me about the discipline of solitude when it comes to hearing from God. And he told me this. He said, there are certain parameters that precede intimacy. And it's like that with a spouse, and it's like that with God as well. And Jesus even modeled this. And we're going to look at this right now. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places as he prayed. Jesus went away to a solitary place. He always retreated to solitude. Why? Well, in Scripture, there are many different reasons. The first one is to prepare for a major task. After Jesus was baptized, he spent 40 days praying in the wilderness. After this, he was tempted by Satan and then began his public ministry. The second one is to recharge after hard work. After Jesus learned that Jesus sent his 12 disciples out to do ministry. And when they returned, he encouraged them to separate from people who were following them to rest. So he prepared for a major task and he recharged after hard work by praying. And then another reason is to work through grief. After Jesus learned that his cousin John the Baptist was beheaded, he went away by himself. Yes, even the Son of God grieves. And I love this because it actually shows his humanity. He's just like us. He has emotions that he goes through and the situations in his life that he grieves over, that he cared about, that he was sad about. Yes, he was 100%. He wasn't 50% man and 50% God. He was 100% man and 100% God. And I know that's a hard thing to wrap our heads around. Another reason was before making an important decision. Early in his ministry, Jesus spent the whole night alone in prayer. And the next day, he chose his 12 disciples. Another reason, in a time of distress, hours before Jesus was arrested, he went to the Mount of Olives where he spent a short distance away from his disciples to pray. He was in great emotional agony, knowing what was about to face. And that was the time where they say that he sweat blood because he was so emotional. And that's where he was crying out to the Lord, if there's any other way but the cross, but having to die. But not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And he still went through to be the Lamb of God and the Savior for us. Another reason was to focus on prayer. Many times in Jesus' ministry, he spent time alone in prayer. It's like the disciples were always going, where is Jesus? He keeps disappearing. My mentor, Ben is his name, gave me an example of this. And he would spend time going away to, he would go away for a week and just, and not bring his cell phone and just spend time reading God's word and in prayer. And he was a lead pastor he was a youth pastor actually, but he oversaw 12 other youth pastors at other campuses. So he had he was busy. So it was important for him to get away. And he felt that the busier he was, all the more important reason to get away. And he had been through a really busy season where he just felt like he hadn't, months had gone by and he hadn't really spent time with the Lord. So he said one day he's like, you know what, I'm just going to go for a drive. Because God, I want to hear from you. Please speak to me. And so as he was driving, he was driving in an area he didn't really know. And finally, he just pulls over in front of this building and he saw a landscape building. And so he sat in this vehicle for a little while. And he's like, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to be your servant. Please use me. And bear with me with this story, because if you've never heard anything on this topic, it might come across as hokey, but I trust you it's not, okay? But this is the purpose of growing in it, because to build the trust within ourselves and in relationship with our God. You guys get that? Because I don't want it to be painted as weird by any means. But this is someone who's a very mature pastor and Christian who's given his whole life to follow the Lord. He's married. He has 4 kids, amazing kids. They're great friends of our family. But this guy, he felt all that went through his head was go in and see the man. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit here. He sat there for a little while and there was nothing. So finally he's like, okay, I'm going to walk into this building and try to find the man. So he goes in this landscape building and he talked about how massive. It was one of those American stores, box stores, that were huge. And he said he was going up aisle after aisle after aisle and he could not find one single person in the store, employee or otherwise. And he's like, well, if I find someone, I guess that's the person I'm supposed to talk to. That's what went through his head. So he walked through the whole building, couldn't find a single person. He finally found a garage door at the back of the building that was open. So he walks out and it entered into a field that were full of trees and it was massive. So he walked up and all of a sudden there was a pond and he saw someone with a garden hose. And he was watering all the trees in that area. So he's like, well, I guess that's the person I'm supposed to talk to. So he went up to him and he said, and he's going up and he's like, oh my goodness, am I going crazy right now? Lord, please, if I use the situation for your good. And if I miss it, you know what? I'll learn from it. That was kind of his mindset. But he actually walked up to the person and the guy stopped watering. He's just looking at him. And he says, the first thing that came to his mind, and he said, do you know Jesus Christ? And the man literally dropped the hose, fell to his knees, and starts weeping, weeping, weeping. And he's crying and does not understand what's going on. It's making no sense to him. And finally, the guy brought himself where he could say something, and he said, I am a Muslim. I had a dream last night that Jesus appeared to me in my dream and was going to tell me about Jesus. And that there was a white man that was going to tell me about Jesus today. And you are him. And Ben led that man through salvation. He led him to Jesus. He invited Jesus into his heart that day. And they literally took him to his church. He was in Louisiana at the time. He took him to his church. And that man has been serving. It was about 12 years ago that happened. And that man has been serving faithfully in his church ever since. And he's brought most of his family to the Lord as well. Isn't that incredible? That was a time when God was speaking because he took time of solitude to listen. He said, you know what? I'm going to go for a drive. How many times have you had someone in your mind or your heart that you go, I just need to give them a phone call, see how they're doing. And it helps them through a difficult time. This is a season where people have had a rough year. And emotionally, people have had a hard time. And as lights, as people who believe that God lives in us, he can use us. We are his hands and his feet in this world. We're not gods, right? It's nothing about that. It doesn't glorify us. It doesn't make us better. You know what I'm talking about? It's all God. He has done it all, but he is willing to use us to speak to us. And if you're a young person today, maybe it's someone in your school, just to encourage them. I wanted to just tell that story so that we would be more mindful of that. So I encourage you to ask yourself, how do you hear? My suggestion is to find a quiet place, spend some time in worship, attune your heart to his, to God's. Grab your Bible and a journal, and then pray. Spend some time in prayer. Write something. This does take faith, it takes trust, and it takes practice. But over time, you'll see that you are hearing God's voice. So spend time with God. Make intimacy and time a habit. The more you spend time with God, the better you will know him, the more distinct his voice will become. Just like any other relationship. I want to break this down even more, if you will, okay? First one is set an appointment. God comes to a prepared atmosphere. Just like God prepared a time and a place to meet Moses to speak to him, we can prepare a time and place to meet with God and hear his voice. Exodus 19, 10, 11, and 19 says this, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on this day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and at the sound of the trumpet grew louder as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him.'" So set an appointment. Take time away. Maybe it's 15 minutes at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. The next one is be still and worship. What's one of the most important things we can do is be still and worship. Before praying and before reading our Bible, we need to take time to worship. The Bible talks all about how God even fights our battles during these times of stillness and of worship. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, God told King Jehoshaphat this. He said, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. The Lord will give you Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." And they actually appointed men to sing to the Lord, worshipers, as they went out and fought the army. And it actually says that it created confusion against the other two armies they were fighting, and they ended up destroying each other so that they didn't even have to fight the battle. How does that happen? I have no idea. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a lot of questions, right? But God calls us to worship, and he promises this, that he will help us fight our battles. He will help us give victory in everyday situations as we worship him. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The next one is pray and read. We can begin prayer with whatever is on our heart. After we give God our burden, we're able to go further with him and hear his voice. And then read any scripture, if you will, in an easy-to-read Bible translation. There are some awesome Bibles out there today. I have an apologetics Bible that teaches me all through the Bible, the defense of God's word, the proof of the Bible in science. I have another Bible that that has just articles throughout it that explains the history of each book. I have another Bible that has articles about, you name it, the most incredible things all throughout the Bible that describe it through Scripture. And it becomes all of a sudden, and there's great devotionals out there too. Anyway, I won't go on about that. 1 Chronicles 28:19 says, "And all this David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me." Sorry, the last one was listen and write. 1 Chronicles 28:19, "All this David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me, and he enables me to understand all the details of the plan." Habakkuk 2:2, the Lord's answer, "Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it." So the last one was listen and write. It's the most practical way to hear God. The number one way to hear God is to read Scripture. But then write down what you think that the Scripture says or what that God is saying to you. And you'll be able to see over time how God is speaking to you through that passage. As you do this, you will be able to hear the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Again, God wants relationship with us. He wants our hearts. Now, if I will, I'm going to break it down a little easier one more time. An easy way to start is just by giving God 15 minutes, because I know we can all be busy. But I've learned to do this in my own personal time, to start my day, even if it's insanely busy. You know, you don't have to get up at 4 in the morning and pray for 2 hours, because that's just not realistic. I mean, if you do, that's great. And there are times that I do that. But 15 minutes, take 15 minutes, take 5 minutes of worship music. You can literally put on Spotify. I did it this morning when I first got up, put on a song from Spotify and just worship the Lord. Welcome the Lord into your day, into your life. And then read God's word. If it's a devotional that pairs up with the word of God, but we need to put the word of God first. And then prayer. Pray for 5 minutes. Whatever, you can pray for what's on your heart. And then take time to listen. If you've noticed at the end of sermons, I try to say, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? So many people are looking for the secret sauce of success in their lives. And I'm going to tell you what it is. That you can have success in most any area, okay? Now, I'm not trying to set you up for something. But truly, it's to hear God, believe in what he told you, and obey what he told you to do. And it's going to be different for each one of us. But when it relates to your work or your relationships or your friendships or your marriage or your children or your jobs or a move, take time to hear God. Read Scripture. And if there's something that jumps off the page, you know it's from the Lord. There have been times in my life that I'm like, I don't need to hear from someone else, a friend. Yes, community is good. I need to have it from God's word. And I was praying and fasting about something, and probably 3 days in, it was a Wednesday, I remember opening my Bible, and I read exactly what I needed to hear, and it was about a big decision, whether I was going to stay in ministry or be able to work this other business in an opportunity that I had. And the scripture was from Acts chapter 6, where it said, it is more important to do the ministry of the work instead of waiting tables. And that jumped off the page to me, and I just knew the Lord was using it to guide my life. And we all have times like this. When we believe God has spoken something to our hearts, it's our responsibility to steward the word of God. Stewardship is more than just managing our finances. It's better. The better we manage God's resources, the more we will have to manage. In the same way, if we steward or manage God's spoken word, we will hear him more. Mark 4, verses 24 and 25 says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. I said this last week, but at the end of this life, you won't be looking back going, I wish I made one more business deal. I wish I had more money. I wish I had this or this or this. You'll be thinking, I wish I talked to this person. I wish I had this relationship. I wish I mended this relationship. I wish I could talk to this person one more time. Why? Because God created us for relationship. He created us in his image. We're made to have relationship with other people, and we're made to have relationship with God. The best decision I have ever made in my life is to ask God into my life, to make me new. And if you have never done that this morning, I urge you, I even beg of you to do that. God is real. God is love. All the good things that we have in our life is from God. The reason we can give thanks for the good things in our life is only but God. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and he does it in this world, sometimes in our lives. But God has come to give us life. He's come to give us water that we don't just drink one time, but everlasting water that will never thirst again. Why is it so important to hear God and to follow him? Because I believe your life will be the greatest adventure you could ever imagine by following him. God will take you places that you never dreamed of. He will bring people and the most incredible relationships into your life that you never dreamed of. If you're single today, God can lead you to the right spouse. Amen? Just like he did for me years ago. So thankful. Changed my life forever. My wonderful wife isn't here to hear that, unfortunately. She's in the hall. I'm just kidding. Anyway, to end, I want us all to stand up and to pray this prayer together. And it's five slides, and we're just going to say this together because I really want to put this into action, okay? So if everyone will stand, if you're comfortable, let's pray this together. Say this together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have given me your word to guide, correct, and comfort me. I believe that your word is life and truth to my spirit, and I receive the power of your written word in my life. Lord, you know my situation. I desire to only say what you, my Father, say, and do what you, my Father, do. I desire to obey you and listen to your instructions because I know they will always lead me to victory beyond anything I could ever imagine. So today, Lord, I am asking for a word from you regarding my life, my situations, and my future. Please give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive the exact word the Holy Spirit desires to deliver to me. I open my heart and soul to listen so I can clearly see the illuminated word you have for me. Help me to repent where I need to repent, change where I need to change, and take action where you direct me, and to do so without hesitation. Thank you for loving me and guiding me into all triumph in your name. And now I am expecting to receive a word regarding my situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that good to say? Amen. Let's give the Lord thanks. And let's pray. And let's keep remain standing. Lord, we just thank you that we can hear your voice, that we are created in your image. Lord, we give you all thanks on this Thanksgiving weekend for all the good in our lives, Lord, knowing that every part of wisdom comes from you. Every part of love in our lives come from you. May we recognize those good things and live our lives out of a heart of worship each and every day. And Lord, we ask you to guide us in wisdom in every situation, Lord. The things that we don't know what to do, when we've come to our end, when we don't know what way to go, when we've come to a fork in the road, Lord, give us wisdom in those situations, knowing that we can trust you, that you guide us, that you love us, that you are good. All goodness is you, that you are love. Now fill us, Lord, as we leave this place. Lord, and if there is anyone here that has not accepted Christ, just